It really is going to be about how I can deliver that user experience, how I can deliver that application to as many people on as many different devices in as simplistic manner as possible. And that's what today's conversation is about. That's what we're going to drive in this afternoon's session. That user experience and that development environment, and how can I achieve a balance that gives me that next generation. And there's a lot of trends throughout the environment today. You know, multi-core processing is highly available to the point where we're seeing it on our phones, where we're seeing it in slates and tablets. And there are literally a screen everywhere. This device right here, if this is a standard Windows 7 laptop driving a 32-inch translucent touch device. So this is a 6-point touch device, meaning that multiple people could be working on it simultaneously. So if you're thinking of a kiosk scenario, it doesn't have to be one person interacting. It could be multiple people interacting with that same system at the same time. In a gaming environment, my kids have a touch screen in their kitchen that they play their games on online. And my kids are small, you know, 4, 7, 10. They believe that touch is the way that I should play games. Because they'll go to whatever online site that they play games at. And they just sit there and do this to move the person around the screen, to choose the correct letter. Whatever the concept of the game is, this is how they interact. That same experience then is transferable to the phone and to the slate. And that's really where we're going to, that screen anyway. And the whole natural UI. You know, whether that's using a pen or whether that's using my finger, I want to be able to interact with that system as seamlessly as possible and as intuitively as possible. And that's where we're trying to go with our technology. That is the evolution of where Microsoft is going. It is the vision of the organization. And without doubt, it is the trend that is existing within the computing world as a whole, and moreover, the consumer. And the last part of that is the digital context. There is a lot of content now where people don't worry about getting the content in traditional forms. They get it digitally. Whether that is a newspaper, whether that is the books, you know, as you look at Amazon's success, Amazon now outsells their traditional book with ebooks. For the first time in a long time, we now have a digital industry outperforming the traditional industry in the publishing sector. And there, now there's that transition, is how am I going to deliver that content and to which devices? And I should be able to consume that content, that book for me, whether I pick it up on my phone, whether I pick it up on my slate, whether I pick it up on my laptop. I can get to the same point, knows where I last stopped reading. It knows my library. And I'm able to consume that information on any of those devices. And that extends then to beyond, you know, a single focus application to the ability to consume information from all sources through an application, because that information is provided to me through a service. So aggregating that data back and consuming. So applications that are pulling multiple source information through RESTful services, through SOAP, depending on how that application is being provided, and consuming all that information back into a single user interface. And that is pervasive computing. So then the question is Microsoft relevant in that next wave of technology? Now, depending who you read and who you listen to, some would say no. Some would say our competitors have overtaken us. Some would say that the industry is moving in a way that's distant from where we are. And I think that's really quite understating where we are today and where we're going. Our vision is clear. We see the vision of 3 screens in a cloud really being about all of these different surfaces, all of these different services, and consumption. And that consumption is in a consumer space, and that consumption is in a commercial space. So irrespective of who I am or where I am, I'm going to consume information. And I think that Windows Phone 7 is really, in my mind, the best example of that that exists today. Because within that user interface, I'm able to pull in my personal email, my personal contacts that would exist in Facebook or on MSN or on Yahoo or on Gmail, and I would be able to pull in my corporate Outlook information, and my contacts now is just all of those people put together. I'm able to pull in my Xbox Live information. I'm able to play and interact on one device, whether I'm at work, whether I'm off work, and all of those different personalities are me. And that is the most succinct way of really describing where we see the future of computing and really where we see our prevalence inside that space, is that a person is all of those multiple dimensions. They are their personality on Facebook. They are their Twitter. They're, whatever they're tweeting today is who they are. That's how they're feeling. That's what they're expressing in 140 characters or less. They are still that person at the office with their Outlook and their email and their contacts and their phone interaction and their unified communications. They are that Skype client, whether it's work or it's personal. And by putting all that into a single device or across multiple devices, I'm able to be that person regardless of where I am or what screen I'm working on. And to us, that's the future. That's where we see the future of computing and where we see the future of applications. And why that's important today is, if you look at development and you look at user experience, it's understanding how both of those will fit into that next generation application development environment and user experience environment. So, I talked briefly before that we initially had a session about developing applications for Windows and Kinect as part of today's session. And we've decided to pull that back out of today's session. And we're going to instead have that session in September. We're going to be releasing the software development kit for Kinect here very shortly, which is a non-commercial, free software development kit, which will give you direct integration into that Xbox Kinect to use it in a new application in ways that Microsoft didn't even foresee that device being utilized over the Xbox or gaming platform. And that means that you'll be able to develop that next generation UI without a mouse and keyboard, but with this. And that to us is a big, big component where we see the future. That next generation UI, that next generation user experience has to be looking at not just touch on the device, but also gesture. And how we can communicate in different ways for different activities, for different people's needs to deliver that software solution. So we will be announcing here in the next couple of weeks the exact date in September, but it will be early in September. We didn't want to run it in the summer just because of vacations and people's availability. We want to make sure that as many people as possible are able to take in this event, be able to take in exactly what the Kinect SDK will provide. So on the day, we will have people develop applications, and they will walk through the process of developing an application for Kinect and delivering that application. And I will, initially we were looking to bring Stephen in from Tal IT to talk through some of the work that he's done today. And I've talked to Stephen. You'll get Stephen involved in delivering a session for that day. Again, really talking about the potential of what the device is. And even as we look at the Imagine Comp that just ran here in Ireland, which is a competition for third level students to become innovative software developers, looking at next generation solutions. So they've built applications. And some of the applications that were built were done on Kinect platform. So utilizing Kinect is very, very creative scenarios for healthcare type situations, for people's wellness. And those are the types of creative implications that we see the direct offerings. Once software development kit is fully available and available for download, people will be able to start to work with the development of applications in those areas. And it will not just be about capturing the gesture. There'll be full audio, video communications, the ability to capture audio, to do some of the experiences that you see on Kinect today, when we're able to do video chat, it's able to work and I'm able to talk to the Kinect system and have it do the menuing as opposed to just using a controller. These are the types of things that will be available through the SDK. So it's really taking those next steps to, in comparison to some of the early applications that we've seen come out over the course of the last 2 months. And at the heart of all of this is still Windows. And what you see at the side there, we have a number of Windows devices. And I have a Windows device here that I use. This is my day-to-day laptop. This is an Asus SP121 Slate. And it is a full two-touch device, just using Windows, nothing special about it. It's just corporate build of Windows 7 Enterprise. But it gives me the flexibility to do everything that I would do traditionally with a mouse with my fingers. And it also provides me the flexibility of then using a pen. To capture whatever I write. So it's looking at ways to do the things we do today and do them more intuitively. So we've been doing pens as part of Windows since 2005. And we've been doing touch as part of Windows intuitively as part of the base product since Windows 7. Now you could use touch with XP, you could do touch with Vista, but we were reliant on some other software being put into play from manufacturers for the digitizers, as well as some of the hardware OEMs. With Windows 7, it just became part of the OS. If there's a touch present device, it knew the driver, and it would start to work. With Windows 8, it really started to change some of that. So last week, we made some announcements about Windows 8, and we showed some of what the next generation UI for Windows 8 is going to be. And it is Windows 7. At the heart, we're talking about the same kernel. It's just the next evolution of that, as the same as Windows 7 was the next evolution of the Vista kernel. We will continue to refine that kernel and make it as efficient to deliver as much power and potential as possible. But with Windows 8, we're going to start to bring in some next generation UI. So I'm just going to play a video here. Outline some of the Windows 8 features. Now we've been playing in this space, the touch space, for a long time, as I said. And our initial vision of the company was a personal computer on the desk and in every home. And that's been achieved. And I really start to talk to that computerization of the consumer. But now the vision is about empowering people to break software anytime, any place, and on any device. And that's what Windows 8 is aiming to do, is to really give that experience on any device with any type of user experience to be as easy and as impactful as possible. Now, the next step to that is Build. Build is going to be this year's developers conference for Microsoft. And this is a big, big conference for us. The future of where we're going is going to be revealed to the world audience through this event. We will be running a local version of it in tandem to the event in Los Angeles. And for a developer, for a user experience person, this is probably going to be the most impactful piece of our calendar year without question. And we will be putting a very large event on here in Dublin through September around this event to allow people to consume this information and to get their hands on the same type of information that's given at this event. What are we talking about? We're talking about Windows 8. We're talking about Visual Studio. We're talking about the development platform. All of these types of things are the details, the information that people will start to feel when Build is when Build kicks off. So September 13th to 16th in Anaheim is the conference itself. The goal is to have 5,000 developers gathered together in Los Angeles to see the future. And in Dublin, we'll look to pull as many developers as we can into a very large room to have that same experience, so that what's being felt in Dublin will be the same as what's felt in Los Angeles. And from that day forward, people will see and feel where our vision is, how we're delivering it, and how they can start to take advantage of it in terms of developing applications for the platforms and being ready for when Windows 8 comes to market. Another part of our vision, our strategy, is a beautiful web. Currently there are, based on NetCraft statistics at the end of December, 255 million websites. And that's growing by 21.4 websites a year. It's a staggering number. And why is that interesting? It's really that the web has been that liberalization of information. So as I talked earlier about consumption services, it's the web that facilitates that. But there's two components to that. Update frequency. Content needs to be regenerated and refreshed constantly. No one is going to that website. I'm sure in 1998 that was fantastic. So update frequency is important. And update frequency, in a lot of cases, relies on web content management, or CMS solutions. And anyone who doesn't update their content on the web is going to die, and die a horrible death, because it becomes old very fast. We have a very short attention span, and that attention span is increasing rapidly because of web technology. Because we can get something new, instantaneous, anytime, anywhere, from any device. And we expect that. It also means the way that we're going to code is different. From HTML1 through to things like Web Matrix. Being able to sit down and quickly provision out net new sites. Excuse me. Net new sites with rich functionality. Integrating in multiple platforms and multiple technologies. Be that open source materials like Joomla, Drupal, or WordPress, or .NET applications, Embraco, or just building from components to develop net new applications. It really gives you that simplicity to deliver quickly new content and to deliver quickly net new applications. And the other component of that is now presentation. Because you're not going to present it to a single web audience, where we used to worry about what was the screen resolution on that, and ensuring that we told people that they needed to be a specific screen resolution to enjoy these sites' rich content. Today, we're developing for screens of all sizes, everything from our television, down to a laptop and slate, to a phone, to an integrated dash system in your car, to vending systems. Anything with an internet connection can consume this data today. And we need to be thinking about how we develop for all of those platforms at the start, not at the back end. It also means, and I'll talk to this, and I'm sure Robert will talk to this in the presentation, decoupling that presentation layer from the
and transferable to any number of devices, to any number of scenarios, without impacting the actual application. And it's about HTML5. The ability to develop applications for rich context on any platform, in any browser, with the same rich experience. And as you saw in the video, Windows 8 is going to have a very intrinsic reliance on HTML5 and Java. We see it today with IE9, that we can produce really rich and powerful user experiences and web applications, relying little on other embedded components to deliver that experience, but rather just in the user experience inside the browser. So there's a phrase that will be used a lot in Microsoft over the course of the next year, and that's devices and services. Because we are looking now to deliver a software solution, a user experience to devices through services. Whether that's on slates, phones, TV, big screens like this one, or any other potential technology that comes to market. It's about delivering services and experiences to devices. And that's really where we are, where we're going. So the question I started with, is Microsoft relevant to developers? As we evolve in all of those different platforms, whether it's Xbox, whether it's that Media Top Center that's providing your digital television, whether it's a mobile browser, whether it's a slate device, a PC, whatever that next generation computing experience is, whether it is a screen mounted to the wall in your kitchen or mounted to the wall in your office, we're looking to develop a platform to deliver the best experience to the most broad community as possible that's consistent across all of those. That's the vision of where we're going. And I see our tools, our advancements in our platform, and our tool and our the tool sets that surround us really being at the front of where this new next wave of innovation is coming from. So some of that innovation we're going to talk about now. So we have Rob going to deliver a session, Rob and Rob from Black Marble, on Windows Phone and how to develop applications from start to finish and deliver that experience. And again, their application is not looking at just phone, it's also looking at other touch-type devices, and it's understanding that vision of how people will interact to deliver those solutions. And it is about those solutions. And we also then are going to talk about Surface, the Microsoft Surface platform. So we have Surface 1 sitting at the side, which you can touch and feel. We also have Surface 2 being released fairly quickly, the next generation of that platform, which is built on just Windows 7. And it's just a 4-inch, all-in-one computing experience on a 42-inch screen. Touch, multi-touch. And it changes the way that you can consume and interact. So that's really where we're going today. That's what today's sessions are all about. I'm running a few minutes ahead of schedule, which is not a bad thing. Because I know that we will run over the rest of the day. So if we can, I'm going to get Rob and Rob from Black Marble, and we will start the process of going through development for these next generation user experiences and next generation applications. Now before I go, I do have a raft of prizes to give away today. Shirts and squeezy balls. And somewhere over the course of the day, I have a set of Telerik tools to give away for people who are looking to develop rapidly with some of the .NET technologies. Telerik makes some fantastic tools to and help with that user experience on the phone in Silverlight, as well as in WinForms and on ASP.NET. So the way that I'm going to give that stuff away is through questions. So if you have some questions, if you have comments, please feel free, and we'll happily deal with them as we go along. And there'll also be the mechanism by which we will start to give away stuff. So I'm looking around. Someone has to have a question right now.